If you forget your shoes at Tribal, there's one great place to go for everything you need. That's Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need all November and December long with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon. And for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back. Stephen Fishback on a night when Survivor watchers across the world are saying, what?
Wow.
What is going on?
What? Did you do this?
What do you mean, did I do this? Did I vote out Michaela?
Did you do this?
No.
Did you do this?
No.
Okay. I was trying to do the bit from the show, you know, where they're like,
Got it. We should talk about that in the meeting before. Stephen, perhaps the best Tribal Council voting reaction in the history of the show.
Oh my God.
And I don't think that's being.
Yeah. Which you apparently have already forgotten 30 seconds later.
It was almost Game of Thrones-esque where she turned to the Brujay.
Yes.
And says to him, did you do this? And he's like, yeah, I did it.
Yes, that was the most intense part. Was like he met her gaze and was like, yes, I did this.
Yeah.
And just stare. And like Hannah's like waving from the sidelines, I didn't do this. But it was like this intense, powerful moment.
Yeah. Jay, we're trying not to give Hannah another panic attack here. What are you trying to pull?
They knew Hannah was going to panic. They planned in advance that Hannah would panic.
Wow. So much to talk through here tonight on a huge episode. I really thought, Stephen, we were going to have a by-the-book vote tonight. Thought that Brett was going to be the seventh person voted out of this game. He is not. He is still there. I got to say, gut reaction is really bad move, right?
Bap.
Bap. That's sorry. Yeah. That for the visual.
That was a thumbs down.
Hold on. Do that again.
A thumbs down.
Give us that again. Bap. Steven gives a thumbs down on the podcast. Bap. Yes.
Yeah. Thumbs down. Very bad move. I want to talk about it. I guess that's why we're here.
We're here. We're here to talk about it. Okay. So let's set the stage here as we get into our episode number 7 recap, where we're going from here. Steven, later on tonight, I'm going to be watching the West Coast version of this episode with our good friend Nick Majorano, who is coming here. Oh. We are going to be enjoying some dinner, and hopefully we won't have a reward-like celebration like the Vanua tribe. And then hopefully we will come in here and then recap this episode. And then tomorrow morning, we are going to be having your friend and mine, Chaos Cass, joining us for the voicemails.
Cass.
On a night when Tony
Cass.
Vlachos was conjured at Tribal Council, that Cass will join us on the voicemail. So don't wait. Don't mess around. Get those voicemails in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail, 323-282-RHAP. And if you want to get those Nick questions emailed in, survivor@robiswebsite.com.
Cass is a great, she's got a really good perception of the game. I think that people don't give Cass enough credit. She's a real smart cookie.
Yes, we will have a lot of fun, surely, with Cass. Steven, I'm interested to know where you go with the fishy tonight, because if you're in agreement with me that this was a bad move for Jay, what are you doing here with the fishy?
David wins the fishy.
Okay. All right. Well,
very smart.
Okay.
I don't play.
Okay. So then let's
we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about that later. But fine. You're burying the lead by bringing up David right now. So
you asked me a question and I answered it, Rob.
I didn't know you were going to give me a bad answer like that. So
who would you give the fishy to? Mr. Knows it all. I guess that's what you are here.
I don't know. Well, maybe we could figure it out. So, Stephen, in terms of this Tribal Council, I mean, just such a dramatic TV moment in terms of this reveal. And also, you know, kudos to Jeff, who stopped the vote count to let the drama play out.
He let it happen. He let the magic happen. That's it. You know, I went to clown school when I was 21 years old. And
Yale?
The big thing that I learned.
That's for the Harvard fans out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was, you know, you got to pause and let the magic moments happen. You know, don't get in the way of the magic moments. And that's what Jeff was doing tonight.
Yeah, that was really fantastic. And then just the whole dramatic exit of, you know, you really, what'd you call him, an a-hole? She said, you really effed this up. She went back and left her shoes there.
Her shoes.
Yeah.
And then she like smashed the thing. But what, you know, she said was, you effed up, I think it was like, damn, Jay, effed up something good, bro. And I agree. I think Jay effed up something good, bro.
Yeah. He really did, Steven. I think so. So where does this come from? Is this all going back to last week in the Immunity Idol?
So I don't think so. I think that's an extra reason for them. I think this comes out of big moves, itis. I think this comes out of boredom. You know, Ikabula has been sitting there for a week. They haven't lost yet. You know, and in that week, you know, everyone has been doing strategy all the time, right? Everyone's been talking with each other. Everyone's been making plans. And I'm sure the millennials had it locked up. Okay, obviously it's Brett or Sunday. We don't trust them. You know, whoever, you know, once we get there, it's going to be Brett and Sunday. And then they finally lose a challenge, have a chance to go to tribal council. And that Brett and Sunday plan seems so old. You know, like they've talked about it so many times. They've walked through it so many different ways. It's like it's already happened and it's like old news. And they want to do something big and exciting and change the game. And like, let's vote out a big player, you know, and that can be a great strategy if the big player isn't a wonderful, loyal ally. Rob, I wanted to read here for you the entire sum of what Will and Jay said about Michaela that while they were deciding to vote her out. All right. Okay. Are you ready?
Transcription. Go for it.
All right. Jay, Michaela's a smart girl, so that's the problem. Will says, Michaela is so intelligent. Every time I have a conversation with her about this game, she thinks about it methodically. Jay, she's a huge threat. She's good at competitions and she's a smart chick. This is not in order. These are all the things. Will, I'm just like, dude, you're thinking way too far ahead. Jay, I trust Michaela. She hasn't lied to us. Jay, Michaela's only alliance is us. Jay, Michaela's a great alliance and I've been with her since day one and I still don't trust Brett. Jay makes the best point ever. Why on earth would you vote out the person who is a great ally, who you totally trust, who's never lied to you, who doesn't have any other allies, who's sitting there plotting with you to get to the end? And best of all, she's a huge challenge beast, meaning she's going to be a giant target at the merge, giving someone athletic like Jay a little bit of cover. Like this, I don't know what to say.
Yeah. It almost makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, you leave Brett and Sunday in the game to where they can reconnect with their allies post-merge. You look at the game board from last week and you see that one of Jay's tightest allies came off the board last week, yeah, where you ended up seeing with Taylor ending up, oh, I'm sorry, with Figgy ending up going home, one of the Triforce. So he seems to be in a weakened position in the game. Michaela doesn't have any sort of Gen X alliances out there on the board. So I don't know necessarily. And it just seems like this is a big win for those alliances that are going on between the Chris, Zeke, David, yep, side of things.
Yep.
And then totally also for Jessica, Ken, and Adam. I feel like that this is a huge win because Michaela seemed like that was the biggest threat on the other side of the aisle.
Yes. And I think also this is like effectively ends that kind of millennial group, that millennial block, where, you know, now there's no trust among the millennials, right? Like you've got Adam's betrayed, Figgy, and you know, Taylor as well. Zeke is sort of like, you know, being attached closer to David and Chris. But, you know, I do think that there's still a shot that if you had this core four come in strong, like millennial strong, if you had this Michaela, Jay, Hannah, and Will, you know, if this group had like come in strong into Emerge being like, millennials, we got to get back together. You know, let's do this. That there still could have been some like gravitational pull just from like that unity. You know, but the fact that they've betrayed, you know, this group already, Michaela's gone. She was, you know, a big, you know, force of stability. Hannah's now pissed And so, you know, you've got nothing left. You've got no cohesion left to the millennials. It's like every big alliance in Survivor history that just turns on its own too soon and ends up falling apart.
Do you think that there was anything to when we got to the reward challenge and, okay, let's take a look at the new purple tribe. Figgy voted out at the last tribal council, and Jeff ends up asking Michaela about this idea of, okay, well, Michaela, you said, hey, if you're too stupid to work together, then you don't deserve to be here. And she basically says that, you know, Figgy, it was her time to go. Bye, Felicia, in terms of say goodbye to Figgy. One of Jay's tightest allies in the game is gone. Do you think that he felt like that maybe that she was not as Michaela was ready to flip against him and vote out Taylor next and then the other members of the Triforce from the pre-merge stuff?
That seems too bad. I mean, maybe that was a part of it. You know, maybe that was a part of it. To me, that seems a little binary. Like, you know, there's this column of players and then there's this column of players. I feel like everyone knew Michaela and Figgy didn't get along, right? She was incredibly open about not liking Figgy, like, from the very beginning. You know, for Michaela to be like, yeah, like, you know, screw you, like, see you later. Like, I think no one would be surprised by that. And, you know, Michaela, to her credit, never let that get in the way of the way she voted, right? She, as much as she feuded with Figgy, as much as she didn't like Figgy, she still voted with Figgy. And I think that, you know, that was one of Michaela's strengths as a
player. Okay. So,
what do you think? What do you think, Rob? Why, you tell me why this happened. You know, you're throwing things out here. Was it that she knew about the idol? Was it that, you know, was it that this offhand remark she made? You know, I'm saying, I actually think it's boredom. I think it's a, you know, Jay trying to make a big move. What's your perspective here?
Well, I think that you would probably be the person that would be the right one to ask of the two of us, because I feel like in a lot of ways that this brings up the Monica Padilla vote from the one of the last votes before they when they select three tribes back in Cambodia, because you're sitting with a tribe that has a big number that hasn't been to tribal council post swap, and you have a immunity challenge which involved a slingshot. And then also you have people sitting around and this is their first vote and a chance to test their loyalties, and they end up eating one of their own. So I would defer to what you're saying in terms of what they're doing.
Well, what do you think happened though? I mean, I can compare, you know, what happened with Monica versus, I mean, I think that vote was a mistake. I thought that vote was a mistake at the time. I tried to talk Jeremy and Kimmy out of it then, you know, like, you know, I think people were worried about Monica flipping. I mean, like, that's, we can get into the specifics of Monica, but like, what do you think are the specifics here?
I would just think that for Jay, there was not a lot of trust there. I mean, you heard the name Tony of Lacos be thrown around by Will. And I do think that trust is at a premium in this game. And I feel like that Michaela really never gave those guys good vibes. I mean, I've talked about on the podcast, Michaela not having a poker face. She could tell you that she's with you. She could vote with you, but, you know, she could potentially be giving you the stink eye at the same time. And maybe she wasn't exactly shy about, you know, when she snuck up on them with the idol going back to last week. I mean, I think that that was not right. Something that created an atmosphere of trust. It was like, hey, what you got there? Right. And she scared them. And she tells us in confessionals, hey, I'll snitch on you guys if I need to, if I feel like I don't think Jay's going to play the idol for me. And I think that she wears that on her sleeve in this game. And even though she's saying, okay, this is the final four, this is the group that I'm working with, I don't think that she did a lot to make those guys feel at ease. And as we've talked about so much from Ko Rong and coming out of Michelle's win, and one of the things, you know, and Jeremy as well, what you need to be able to make people feel at ease and at like they're being able to trust you moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's a really smart and astute assessment.
Oh, like Stephen, thank failures. You.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and she, you know, certainly with like even the way that she kind of talked about those rocks, it was very, you know, it wasn't like human, right? It was mathematical. But like any vote isn't just a vote. You're not just voting someone out. You're also not voting everybody else out, right? So for them to vote out Michaela and not vote out Brett, who they like don't trust, who's, you know, got ties on the other side, who was never with them, you know, why vote out a Michaela over a Brett? So, you know, you can say like, well, there's reasons to vote out everybody. But, you know, you have a limited number of votes and you know, you got to make the best, most optimized decision.
Yeah. And just the idea to not take Brett off the board when you had a shot where he can go back and reunite with Chris. And especially at the fact, like, we didn't get to see in this episode, and maybe there'll be a secret scene, but I'm not going to hold my breath, of what was Brett and Sunday's reaction when Jay and Will came to them? Because maybe they're tighter than we imagine. Maybe it was Hannah has really been off-putting in terms of really grilling him in terms of the, are you a funeral director? Are you sure you're not a cop? Jay, I thought, was doing a good job of like having a cat's paw in that conversation where he's sort of like, yeah, keep pushing him on that. Go ahead. Yeah, keep asking him about that stuff. So I thought he did a good job on that front. And so maybe that group is tighter than we think. Like maybe there's a conversation that we're just not seeing where you have Brett maybe really working Jay and saying like, hey, trust me, after the merge, we'll work together. I have a connection to Chris. We'll be able to work with Zeke. I think that maybe that there was definitely a conversation that we didn't see where they told them, hey, vote for Michaela. And it was enough of a positive conversation that they didn't say, he's just trying to get us to, you know, do this so they could, you know, they could split the votes, or they're just trying to make us go the other way. So he was convincing enough that they were able to go along with this plan.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, like, you know, there's obviously on every one of these tribes, right? It's not just this group versus that group. Like, there's clear bonds between with Brett and Sunday and all the rest of them. And you're right. Like, it's not, you know, it's not just a binary decision. Like, you know, I'm this person's in my team, I'm going to choose her over this. It's like every you know, you have all these human interactions, and every relationship is shaded in that way. Can I just one thing that Brett did really bugged me, and I want to talk about it. When he says to Sunday, looks like the two of us have to vote for each other. That's a terrible call, you know, because if they are splitting the votes, which they have every reason to do because they have the numbers, you don't want Sunday voting for you. You want Sunday voting for someone else. And I feel like we see this all the time these days where like the two people on the bottom are like, well, guess we got to vote for each other.
Yeah.
You should try to get, you know, Brett should go to Sunday and be like, man, we got to put our votes on Michaela. There's an off chance that maybe she'll go home and maybe we can try to swing someone. So the two of us have to vote Michaela. And then he puts his vote
really
on Sunday.
Really good point.
You know? We see it a lot.
Yes.
Don't do
that. Well, it was the last time we played in Fiji. I believe it might have been Alex Angarita and Mookie where it ended up. It was supposed to be Alex Angarita, and it ended up being Mookie.
Right.
Because that he wrote Mookie's name down.
Yeah, for that very reason. Right. Like, he got Mookie to vote for someone else, and he voted for Mookie. But I feel like a lot of the time, it's the people on the bottom just voting for each other. I remember Spencer and Shireen, I think, voted for each other. I mean, granted, like, they both would have figured that out.
Sure.
Anyway, but still, like, try to get them.
You know, it might have been a good play for, like, okay, who do you want to put our votes on Sunday? Okay, well, let's go for Michaela this week. And then ending up.
Yeah, we got to at least take our shot. Take this one shot we've got. Obviously, you've kind of talked through why you think Jay made this move. But you don't think it's a good move. Do you think there's anything positive about it?
Not in particular. The only thing that I could think of to wrap my head around it, that, you know, the upside here is one, as we talked about, you got rid of Michaela, who somehow in her shock did not manage to get out. Oh, by the way, everybody, Jay has the idol. That somehow, boy, he dodged a bullet with that, because you would have almost imagined that would have been the first thing she blurted out, especially at the point when she went back to get her shoes, that she would have said, oh, by the way, everybody, he has the idol. So he caught a break on that spot. And then we just don't know necessarily what reassurances that Brett and Sunday gave to them, to the point where they said, look, we owe you guys our lives in this game. We love you, Jay. You're the best. We're in your pocket forever. So maybe in Jay's mind, okay, I've got Brett and Sunday. They're in my pocket now. I own their vote. I've got Will. Now I've got a four-person show that I'm running here. I'm the power player going into the merge.
Yeah.
And maybe in Jay's
mind,
okay,
player going into the merge.
Again, Stephen, we're not saying that necessarily Jay.
Why? What's the mitigating?
Yeah, you know, Jay's ready to step into Survivor Know-It-Alls or anything like that. But maybe that's how he's looking at it. And again, that you have to assume on Survivor, maybe not everybody is going to be making the optimal move at every turn, Stephen.
I can't assume that. But, you know, the crazy thing is, like, as the story we're getting told, we don't see Jay say anything about not trusting Michaela. We don't see, you know, the only things that Jay and Will say about Michaela is how smart she is, how methodical she is, how she's planned this game out, you know, far in advance. Like, it's nothing to suggest that she's erratic, that they don't trust her. You know, that's all speculation. And it's, you know, yeah, everything they say is the opposite of that, you know? And I really, you know, Michaela's a great alliance and I've been with her since day one and I still don't trust Brett. Like, what more do you need than that single sentence?
Yeah. This is a tough one to wrap our head around. Maybe we'll get more answers from Michaela in the exit interview. That's going to be an exit interview that you don't want to miss coming up on Thursday. I have a feeling that she is going to light up the exit press on Thursday. Maybe that it would be hard to really outshine last week's exit press from Figgy, but Michaela just may be able to do it.
What did Figgy say?
Well, Steven, I mean, were you like with all this baby mama drama from this past week on Survivor?
Oh, yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible. It's a heartbreaking story.
I know you stay above all of the gossip and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, take the social media hiatus and then it's like, I got no idea what's happening in the world.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure more to come in the question segment. Make sure you get your questions in hashtag RHAP later on in this show. All right. You said you want to give the fishy to David this week just because he showed Zeke the idol.
Yeah, you know, he's doing the idol thing that we talk about. You know, he's using the idol strategically to build bonds instead of just using it. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week at the Live Know-It-Alls. You know, is it a good move in this day and age to show the idol as a way of building bonds? And I think, yeah, strategically it is. You know, I'm writing about this a little bit in my blog, just the sort of history of idol play. Where, you know, at the start, it was whatever. It was a superpower thing that you could show to anyone. It didn't matter. But I think then there was a period of time where people were using it somewhat strategically. And that sort of like, you know, you'd say pre-Hansian era. But I think it's kind of, you know, I think maybe like 14 to, you know, 19 or 20, people were using the idol. And you know, really into 21, were using the idol as a tool to build alliances and to get strategic leverage. And then after that, you know, things kind of started to get much more paranoid about the idol and you know, you can't draw a firm line, but you know, to the point where in Cambodia, like if anyone knew anything about an idol, like that person would have been screwed. And Kelly and Jeremy really were smart to hold them close to their vest. And I, you know, I wonder if this is kind of like an easing off of that throttle, you know, if this is sort of like represents kind of like a shift backwards away from that, that accelerator. Well,
you know what? I have to say that I think you're onto some interesting stuff here in terms of the pre-Hansy. And I still say that you have to say that Russell is the outlier here. And I think that it took a couple seasons for the game to catch up with him. So I think the stuff that he's doing in 19 and 20, you're not necessarily seeing play out with the other players until you get like in Nicaragua, like the game was still catching up to what Russell had laid out in 19 and 20. But I do think that as we brought up Tony here tonight, that I wonder that in the seasons following Tony and, you know, Worlds Apart being such an outlier, I think that perhaps because Mike won so many immunity challenges, the idea of you need to have trust in your person that ultimately wins the game, that being the most important thing in Jeremy's win, in Michelle's win, the idea of being able to put people at ease. I wonder if that idea of, you know, showing your hand to people is more prominent than necessarily being a strategic, as Jeff called it, a maverick.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I think that is right. And I do think it's a little bit, I mean, yeah. You know, to be fair though, too, with Russell, you know, he was showing his idol to everyone. I remember blogging about it at the time about how Russell, like every episode was whipping out his idol, you know, and it wasn't like he wasn't playing it close to the vest. You know, he, you know, I guess with that Kelly one he did, but for the most part, Russell was, you know, using the idol tactically, you know? I think that sort of level of paranoia escalated, but I think you're right that probably this is now, you know, it's more now about, building and showing trust in a way. I mean, it's always been, that's always been the core of the game.
Yeah. And then also in terms of David, I do think that you sort of get a read from him that he feels like that the power has shifted to Chris and Zeke as being the power duo in that couple or in that tribe. And the decision to show Zeke the idol, I think, just buys him some insurance that it's going to be Michelle voted out if that group went to tribal council in this spot.
I also think David's like relaxed a little bit. And like, I think he's like mellowed out. I think he feels a little more comfortable. You know, you see him now around camp. He's like slouching down in the chair, eating rice, thanking Michelle for rice. You know, he's walking with Zeke on the beach and he's like, I'm a paranoid guy. Can you make sure no one's following us? And he even sounds like bored when he talks about how paranoid he is. You know, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm a paranoid guy, whatever. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that like kind of like, and you know, whatever, maybe that's editing, but you know, maybe we were getting a sort of hit in the head with like crazy frantic David in the first few episodes, but also probably in the first few episodes, he was super paranoid and crazy and frantic. And then he kind of has relaxed into the game a little bit. And I'm really enjoying watching him play.
Yeah. All right, Steven, you want to touch over on what happened on Purple Tribe this week? Really, Adam, almost nowhere to be seen in this episode, but we had Ken and Jessica having a conversation with Taylor. Has Taylor worked his way back into the good graces of Gen X Jessica and Ken?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, someone comes over to you and is like, I'll never write your name down. I'm 100% with you. And they're like, yeah, okay, that sounds good. You know?
Yes. Yes. Should we get Taylor on the podcast, hopefully this week, to be able to break down the 2016 election? Do we need to get his takes on maybe him and Ken could have a debate, policy, the Electoral College, who needs it?
Yeah, that would be it would be great. You know, finally someone speaking out about the Electoral College. What a free-thinking millennial Taylor is. I haven't heard anyone complain about the Electoral College more. You know that, like, when they heard that conversation, just everyone just, like, electricity ran down people's spines.
Yes,
what was I going to say? Adam had that great, did I screw you over 100%? I did. You know, and I'm sorry about whatever it is. I'm not proud of it. It was such a great, great little bit.
Yeah. No, he really was. I think that his intention was to make Jay feel better, but I don't know necessarily if that's what he was doing. Maybe his bedside manner with that needs some improvement, because it's like, did I make things worse for you? Sure. Did I hurt your chances to win the game? Yeah, I definitely did. Did I really screw you out of a once in a lifetime opportunity? Probably. did I? Like, he really just was like, all right. Like, at some point, like, what's the upside here for Taylor? I know you're trying to apologize, but really, can you spin this in any positive light, Adam?
Yeah. And it's funny, like, he got like so into like the rhetorical, his own rhetorical flourishes, that it seemed like he stopped feeling culpable. Like, he didn't even seem like he felt guilty. He was just so excited about like taking ownership in this like really compelling rhetorical way.
Yeah. All right. Steven,
who's going home next week, Rob?
It's such an interesting merge. And I'm glad you brought that up as we start to segue into the questions, because if we do merge from three tribes, we haven't done that yet before to go from, usually we go from 3 to 2 to 1. To go to 3 to 1, I do think that in an interesting way, and Steven, I hate to bring up the specter of Australian Survivor here, but do think that we've had everybody who's in the game, I believe, and we could fact check me on this, has been to multiple tribal councils now in the pre-merge scenario. So you don't have anybody who's coming in who hasn't gotten a chance to get their feet under them to some degree.
Yes.
And plus you have these pockets of, you have Jay coming in. He feels like he's the power player. You have Adam coming in who's feeling like he's making moves. Ken and Jessica feel like that they're a power couple. You have David feeling like, okay, I've made some moves in this game. Zeke feeling like him and Chris are a power duo. So I think we have a very complicated merge potentially coming into the game. And obviously you have the vacuum of Michaela being gone and what are the repercussions from that. So I really feel like that this game could spin off in any number of directions this week. And I like that we have so much history with these players coming into potentially a very interesting merge. Whereas in other seasons, even going back to last season, you had a couple people Michelle, and I'm trying to think of who else from that group. You know, they there hadn't even been at a Nick. Tribal council. I believe Nick as well. We'll talk to him tonight about that. So it's interesting to have some people, everybody with a good amount of experience coming into the merge.
Yeah, and it's interesting too that, you know, it's interesting how, you know, Adam and Zeke were on the bottom and the outs of the millennial tribe, and, you know, David, Ken, and Jessica were on the bottom and outs of the Gen X tribe. And really, I don't know if it's like some like inherent quality of outsiders or like some like nerd magnetism, but you know, somehow they ended up grouped together. You know,
nerd with, magnetism, we're, is that a thing now?
That's going to be the hashtag.
That's news of the day.
Yeah. you know, where like Adam is with, you know, Ken and Jessica and Zeke is with David. It's just like it matches up so nicely. And I really, I mean, it looks pretty like the story that's getting told is one where those groups come together and right dominate the other people. Like we've certainly seen why everyone else is going to screw up. My guess is you're getting a Jay or a Taylor going home. I think it's going to be a millennial, and I think it's going to be one of those guys.
Taylor is the easiest one to imagine going home next week. Yeah. I mean, he certainly fits the mold of the merge boot physically, and then he just has the fewest ties to any other group where you have Jay who may want to ultimately save him, but is he going to stick his neck out for him or potentially play his idol for him? Unlikely. Yeah.
And Jay has good relationships too, right? That Taylor doesn't have, right? Like Jay and Zeke are close. So it's like, you know, if they're going to pick someone, like why not vote out?
Yeah. Why would Ken and Jessica save him? Like, would, you know, Michelle is a fan of his, but I think that politically that would be a poor move for her. So he seems like the odds on favorite to go home, but this season has been rather unpredictable at times, and looks like that this should be another one of those situations coming into next week. All right, let's get into the questions, Stephen. And why don't we start off here with Alicia? Not by Felicia. Alicia has the first question tonight, and she wants to ask which vote was more emotional for very different reasons, last week or tonight, which has more down the line game consequences? Well, I mean, if you're asking for Figgy or for Taylor, probably last week was more emotional, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe Taylor felt relieved. I can stop this facade.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But, I mean, this was certainly the more, like, last week was sort of a jump out of your chair, huzzah moment. This was, I think, people just had their jaw dropped this week.
But in terms of the impact on the game, I would say they're actually similar, right? It's both of these, you know, you're cutting out these kind of, like, core millennial figures, you know, who were sort of part of that, like, big, and granted, like they didn't like each other, but they were both sort of part of that big millennial alliance. And now that they're both gone, you know, so really I think undercuts that, you know, the millennials are going in with numbers, but they're not going in with unity.
Yeah. Michaela going out of the game to me is the bigger deal. I think that you could write the scenario where Michaela could have been an end game player. I think it would have been harder to envision where the power couple of Figtails ends up making the deep run in this game.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let's go, Steven. How about Amy?
Amy wants to know, Michaela got so mad she forgot to out Jay's idol. Or is there some sort of rule where she is not allowed to? No rules.
There's no rule. There's no rule. I believe that we've talked about this in other seasons where this sort of thing comes up. I think you could say whatever you want. There's no rule in terms of you're not allowed to out a secret that you have from another player. So she absolutely would have been in her rights to be able to do that. I just think that it just slipped her mind. I mean, it's like a big shock to her.
Didn't Eliza do that in Micronesia? She outed the Aussie's idol, I believe. Or yeah, isn't that what happened? Can I share a story that I've shared before, which I always find so funny?
We would love to hear it.
Oh, good, good, good. When I was, my trouble comes, when I went home in Cambodia, I had gone up to vote, and Keith pointed at my chair, looking over to Spencer, like to make sure that, to like double check that I was going to be the one going home. And, you know, weeks later, Jeremy tells me this, and I said, you know, why didn't you tell me that? And Jeremy said, are we allowed to do that? Like, yes, you're allowed to do that. My God, you're allowed to do that.
Well, what would that have changed?
Yeah, no rules. I would have been able to switch my votes if I had known that they were like Keith and Spencer. The issue being that Spencer was targeting me.
Okay, so that you had gotten up to vote, and so walking, that Jeremy could have yelled to you as you were going to go play your advantage.
Yeah, and Fishback, you know, they're Spencer's flipped, you know, and then I would have been able to do something accordingly.
Yeah, I guess Jeremy felt like he already saved you once. You know?
Yeah, you know, still.
How many times did he save you in one season, Steven?
I mean, theoretically, this was a key vote for him, too. Worked out all right. But, you know, theoretically, this, you know, maybe think about your numbers and your outlook.
I don't know. He won the game. I think it worked. I think it was the right move, Steven.
Well, that's a results-oriented way of looking at it.
Okay. Derek says that was Michaela's loss 100% Tony's fault? Can we lay this at the feet of Tony?
Can you walk me through that thinking?
Well, that Jeff was asking about trust and this idea of that in supporting Michaela's case at Tribal Council of that you need to trust people. And that Will was the one who brought up, following Tony Vlachos. And I need to get the exact quote. He said that sort of Tony Vlachos game is dangerous. Jeff brought up the idea of like, hey, is this just like voting blocks? And he says that's dangerous when you have people who are going to be playing the Tony game. And I guess the implication was that Michaela was potentially playing a Tony like game.
But aren't Will and Jay playing the more Tony-esque game by turning on one of their own allies, but like really early?
See, Steven, survivors hate irony and hypocrisy. They don't see it like that. So yeah. That's certainly a thing. So it could be an interesting thought to pocket for down the line if Michaela was to ever feel like Tony was responsible for this.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a fun, amazing race team.
Funny raising your esteem. Okay. What about Joel Tapia? What does he have to say?
Joel Tapia wants to know, is this the first time that there's ever been actual talking during Jeff's vote reading?
I don't remember a scenario where we've had like a scene play out in between votes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's ever happened. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, I feel like that certainly going back to Tony and in Kagyan, at the point where a card gets flipped over, people are clapping like, yeah, we played the idol for the right person.
Right.
Stuff like that. But, you know, that the idea of like a like an exchange between people like, I can't believe you voted for me. It's like, yeah, I did this. And like, you idiot. What are you doing? I don't remember that sort of conversation ever happening before.
Was that at the third vote? After the third vote, she said that? Because I remember.
Yeah, it was not after the fourth, vote, the and final elimination vote. It was after the third vote.
After the fourth vote, though. No, because there were six people. There's six people voting. Right.
The fourth vote was the elimination vote. She started talking after the third vote of who did this? Who did this? Yeah, was it you? And it's like, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Johnny DeSilvera wants to know, where does Michaela's boot rank with the biggest blindsides ever?
I mean, pre-merge, I don't know if this is going to crack a top 10 blindside of all time.
Really?
Certainly, you think this is one of the top 10 biggest blindsides in the history of the game, Steven?
I don't know. Like, I don't see why. Like, Michaela had no idea. I had no idea Michaela.
I mean, are
was
we going
home.
By I the would... ultimate ramifications of this or by the reaction of the person voted
oh, I thought
out?
It was I mean, just, oh, oh, yeah. I'm thinking the latter, in which case, like, all blindsides, you know, all blindsides are alike. All happy alliances are each happy in their own way.
I mean, to me, if you're going by just the reaction of the survivor, I think that this is an all-timer. If you're going by the ultimate ramifications of the game, I think you have to go back and take a look at who was going to have the highest chance to win the game and then how close did that person get taken out against their, not, you know, without having knowledge of it. Closest to the end of the game. That's the formula of like,
I was
going to
win.
Who is most likely to win that got taken out closest to the end of the game without knowing? That's the list.
Okay. I see. I was blindsided, Rob. Like, you know, when Michaela had that quote after the challenge where she's like, I don't want to be the one to beat. I was like, oh my gosh, what a winner's quote. This is, could Michaela have a winner's edit here? And then, you know, when they were going to the tribal council, I was like, this is ridiculous. You know, Michaela's not going home. Don't pretend like Michaela's the default boot, the decoy boot here. And she went home.
Yeah. Huge night.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What does Travis Payne have to say?
Okay. So Travis Payne says, do we sadly have to give Taylor some credit for good social play tonight? I mean, he tried.
Yeah. I thought he did a good job.
It was fine.
Yeah. He connected. I mean, yeah. You know, Taylor. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that I don't know how much credit you want to get. I mean, it seems like completely the obvious move to say to the other two people now in that tribe, like, I hate the guy that flipped. I'll do anything vote him out. I'll work with you guys. I'll never write your name down. I mean, it's the most basic survivor move a person could make in that game. I mean, I guess you want to give him credit for not just like foaming at the mouth, like, I'm not laughing now. You got rid of my figgy. You'll pay and you'll pay and you'll pay. You know, it's like,
yeah, you know, you could, he could Lindsay ogle it. He could quit because he's so mad. He thinks he's going
to
punch.
Okay. So one, number one, credit to Taylor for not quitting. Number two, yeah, credit for not just like foaming at the mouth, like a rabid dog and going after Ken and Jessica too. So
but I do think credit needs to be given. I do. Like, I feel like a lot of people get really angry after a blindside like that. And, you know, good on him for a rehabilitation.
But they were never voting with them. So the people from the other tribe, like, how could you be mad at them for voting against Figgy? They were going to be voting against Figgy no matter what. It's your ally that flipped that you're mad at.
No, look, I agree. You're right. But I'm just saying people get mad, you know, and we've seen, I remember when Cliff was voted out and Kagayan Wu did a good job being like, good move, guys. You know, like, he was blindsided, but he, you know, that's something that, yeah, it's like a basic move and you should do it, but a lot of people don't.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going. A couple more questions here with Steven.
All right. Gregory McBean wants to say, oh no. Did Jay and Will make the right move by leaving out Hannah? It seems like she is really upset about it. Could this have been prevented?
I think you can't tell Hannah in that spot. I don't think that that's the case because I think that they did not trust Hannah's ability to sell the lie to Michaela. We saw last week during the challenge, Jeff calling out, Michaela, really telling Hannah what time it is. And if Hannah puts, or Michaela puts Hannah on the spot, no way Hannah's going to be able to sell that lie to Michaela.
Yeah, I agree. I think, it's definitely not, I mean, part of the problem with the move is the ramifications with Hannah, right? The fact that they are blindsiding Hannah is a big part of why this isn't a good move. But, you know, if you're committed to doing the move, you shouldn't tell Hannah.
Right. You can't tell her what you're going to do. Now, ultimately for Hannah, where does this leave her, Steven? Do you think that she's somebody who gets picked off early after the merge in the fallout of this? Or do you think that there is now room for her to maneuver? And, you know, now if she's able to flip away from that group of millennials that we think probably made the wrong move tonight, do you think that she has some running room now?
Yeah, I mean, Hannah's always wanted to be used by Adam and Zeke, and this is her chance. Like,
that's her thing, right?
Yeah.
Use me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, who's going to vote out Hannah, especially at the merge? Like, why would you vote out Hannah?
It does seem like that's the thing where once she makes it to the merge and you're not worried that she's going to win a challenge, it seems like that there's going to always be a bigger threat that's going to be on the board that you're going to be able to take out. So you definitely feel like that now that Hannah is going to have some daylight, assuming that she's able to play this right after the merge.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Let's do two more. Okay. Here we go. Let's, how about, this is from Matthew. Does Ikabula have a leg up on Angkor due to not having that level of volatile personalities? Steven, have you made any comparisons internally of Ikabula and Angkor?
Yeah. I thought it was nice that they gave Ikabula the extra member. I think that was big. Obviously, it sucks to be on the new tribe, right? Having to build shelter is hard on day one and having to do it, 3 weeks later or whatever, 2 weeks later. Really a challenge. But I thought that it was good that they gave him the extra member. And I do think that this is probably they got a really good athletic, strong tribe, obviously, which is why they haven't been to tribal council yet. So I think they lucked out. Anchor was a lot of sort of like, weaker people.
And Michaela bailed them out a couple times where she really just came from nowhere. And especially that reward challenge tonight where they were so far behind and she just like, put those layups up to win that challenge for them.
Yeah, I thought Chris was funny in that challenge too, where he was like basically standing on tippy toes and like placing the things there. Like he's so big.
Yeah. All right, Steven, how about this one? This is from Danny from the Bay.
Danny from the Bay wants to know what fake job should Brett have said he did that would have been more believable. I'm glad we get to talk about this, Rob.
Yeah. Steven, these cops, they have it so hard, you know, sometimes that they go out there and people just see right through it. You would think that the funeral director on paper would be a pretty good one, no? Right? It feels like the kind of thing where you wouldn't want to ask too many questions about it because it's like that you don't want to pry too much into like, oh, yeah, that's kind of dark. I don't want to really delve too much into it. But did not get past Hannah, which is probably, I think that her ability to see through that, probably her strongest moment through seven episodes.
Yes, definitely. I actually thought that she might, if Brett did go home, I thought she would be, she, I was preparing a fishy for Hannah. Yeah, you know, why lie? You know, that's the whole problem with a lie like this is that you're not going to have enough specificity. You know, you're never, you know, like Hannah's like, yeah, so how do you prepare dead bodies? Yeah, you know, you do the bodies, whatever. Like you just make, prepare. Oh yeah. You spend time with the families, you know, like a funeral director would have like, oh yeah. So you got to do this and this and this with the families. And you know, you got to spend 15 minutes. I try to spend at least 40 minutes, you know, and advising them on the floral arrangements or whatever. Just like, but Brett was like, yeah, you know, I just do my job. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. I think for Brett, the problem here was that he went too far off the board. Tony, again, had the right idea. I'm not a cop. I'm a construction worker. You know, he picked one blue collar job. He sort of changed it around. I think for Brett, had he not said, oh, I'm not a police officer. I'm a firefighter. I'm an EMT. Something that's sort of very closely, you know, in the same sort of sector as his job, but not exactly the job that people can say, oh, police officer. Okay. I'm going to whatever negative connotations. Also probably Brett, don't say I'm going to stick to my guns about being a police officer. Probably also, not the right, turn of phrase.
But in general, I think we both agree, you know, stop lying about your profession.
I don't mind it, but I feel like just doing a little bit of a tweak. I felt
when
like
did you change? For years, we've been saying don't lie about your
profession.
Police
officer, it's just such a stigma on Survivor that we, you know, that for
what?
Some,
when Tony did this, you and I were like, why are people
okay, but
this?
I also have the data point of Big Brother 16 where Derek, the undercover cop, told people that he was a groundskeeper and he went on to win the game. So you don't have that data point of the frame of reference. So people target you if you say you are in law enforcement on these shows.
They do?
Yes, I believe so. It makes people not trust you. You have all these kids saying like, oh, I don't trust a cop. Oh, he looks like the kind of guy that, you know, chases me for making a bonfire. So I don't like cops. And so I think that it's a good idea to say that you're something that's different. But I just say you're a firefighter because that's the same thing. And it has the people like that.
No. And then like, you know, there's so much downtime on Survivor. You know, Jeremy and Keith were firefighters. They would always tell these stories about, you know, their lives as firefighters. They would tell these stories about, you know, fires they fought, you know, and like life in the fire station. Like that's the stuff that people share and chat about. And if you're lying about that, you're not going to be able to contribute in that bonding. You know, here we are talking about
that
like,
was two,
you know,
firefighters.
No, but I don't even just mean with each other. I mean with us. I mean separately. In fact, they didn't even talk to each other that much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean like separately, they would, you know, everybody shares part like their lives and their jobs and their careers with each other as a way of bonding. You know, we're talking about like a winning quality being showing yourself to be trustworthy. You know, we're saying Tony was an outlier in that, and being able to be really open about who you are is a big part of that. I think as soon as you start lying about something like your career, you're inherently not able to share in the same way. You're going to get caught in a stupid small lie as Brett did. And you know, if you're Tony, maybe you won't get caught in that lie, even though Tony did get caught in that lie. Right. But Tony won the game for playing this like crazy over the top game. I feel like he's not like, no one can say like, oh, Tony did this, so we should do this. You know, like Tony was unique. And for the most part, you know, we're talking about like, how do you build bonds? You know, Michelle Fitzgerald was not lying about what she does for a living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she was not a police officer also. So I think that if you have this job or some other job that we can come up with, like a professional poker player, something that's going to like create stigma, I think that it is the right idea to come up with something that you have a lot of knowledge about and be able to tell that to people. The problem for Brett wasn't that he got caught in a lie. It is that he looks like he's a police officer.
It was also that he couldn't answer any freaking questions. I don't agree.
I think that it was the right instinct to change his story, but I think that he should have gone with something that he could have spoken more at length about.
I just don't think it's never just going to be like a simple question. Oh, what do you do? Oh, okay. You said this thing. I believe you. Now move on. Like you're with these people 24 hours a day for a month, you know, like you get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a stay-at-home dad. It's something out that you could speak to in terms of, like, I think it can be done. Okay, let's not get too caught up on this. I'm sure people will weigh in the comments. All right, last question. Zach Pomeroy, is it time to admit Jay is really good at this game? Is that time, Steven?
I don't think it's time for that yet.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let me get out my Kimmy sound clips here for...
No pumpkin, no.
No. Let's see how it works out. I'm interested to see that missing piece of tape of what did that conversation look like with Brett and Sunday. And maybe we'll say, hey, look, Jay, we need to give Jay more credit. But based on the information that we have right now, I don't think that we can make that assessment. It seems like that's the wrong move.
Oh, it's a given that everyone we critique, we have to give more credit to, right? Like everyone who makes a bad decision is doing so for 1,000 reasons that aren't making their way to television. Like, I feel like that's the baseline for this podcast is that we are wrong.
Well, not necessarily, but based on what I read on the internet, that probably is the case.
No, that's yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't mean to undermine our podcast here, but you know, like there's so much more that goes on than every person's decision is based on 1,000 different factors, and no one is like, you know, I'll just vote off my ally, right? Everyone's got like a lot of reasons for it. So, you know, Jay, if you're out there listening, it's on you. Don't be listening.
Sure. And also, we also have incomplete information a lot of the time. So maybe there's stuff that we didn't know about that there was something Michaela did or a conversation that was had. Obviously, we go with the best of what we see in 42 minutes of television. But you guys all know that already. So Fishy 2, David, is yes. The Stephen Fishback super popular people blog. You could read it. Follow Stephen Fishback on Twitter at Stephen Fishback.
Oh, and tomorrow I'm going to be chatting with Parvati for the ET Canada podcast. Erin's out. So she came to a pro, Rob, to fill in for her.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And then what, the pro wasn't available and they got you?
Yeah, I think you were doing your own thing.
All the other pros were already doing exit press on Thursday? Is that what was going on? All right, so looking forward to that. Follow Stephen on Twitter to be able to hear that. Should be a fun show. And I think you picked a good week, Stephen. I think that you're going to have a very lively guest on the line.
That's why I did it. I was busy, but I cleared my schedule for this.
Okay, good stuff. All right, of course. And then we've got a very busy day of podcasts. I'm going to have Nick Majorano coming in. You want to get a question in for him? Survivor at Robin.
Oh, yeah. Why? Everyone else Nick was going to hang out with was busy that day?
Yeah. Nailed it. And then also we have coming up Cass on the voicemails. It's going to be a quick turnaround on the voicemails tomorrow. I'm talking to her at 2 Eastern, which is a little earlier than we normally do. So make sure, don't wait around. Get your voicemails in tonight. robisawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282 RHAP plus exit interview coming up. And then all of the OTT stuff that Stephen probably doesn't even know is a thing. I could be just making this show up. He has no idea, right?
No, I've read articles about it.
Yes. The OTT is happening tonight. We've got another eviction coming up. Jordan Parhar is going to be live around midnight Eastern with the eviction vote. And then I will be back live on Friday with more OTT coming up. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe to the podcast, robsthewebsite.com/iTunes. And Stephen, programming note coming next week.
Yeah.
You are not going to be with us.
Oh, who's filling in for me?
It's a surprise guest, and it is a surprise in that I have to confirm with this person before I announce it.
Well, more importantly, you're going to be writing my people blog.
Yes.
Can I announce that? Because I just did.
Go for it. I mean, it's your thing. Yeah, I'm very excited to get back to blogging.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
Yes.
And I'm excited that now people might actually read it. So that'll be nice.
Now, am I sanctioned to give out a Fishy Award, or will you be like texting me who the Fishy Award goes to?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not even sure I'm gonna be able to watch the episodes. Why don't you give out a Sesti? All right, let's keep
no,
the Fishy.
No, it's a people it's real, blog. It really should yeah, be awarding a
give
Fishy.
Fishy. Yeah,
that
yeah,
should
yeah.
be canon yeah, in but, terms well, of.
Yes. But you know, there's that spreadsheet that has all the fishies.
I know.
We'll need to put an asterisk
I know.
By these
this is going to be very
just
this
like
is,
awarded by Sester Nino.
And I'm not yeah. going to give it to some like, oh, I give it to the weather this week.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know. You don't know, man. Once you've given out a lot of fishies, you gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta strain.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to that. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Be on the lookout for our exit interview with Michaela coming up on Thursday. Can't believe she's gone, Stephen.
It's so depressing. Everyone I know, you know, she was one of their favorites. You ask anyone who they were rooting for. It's, you know, people on the street I go up to. It's always Michaela. David and Adam and Zeke are in there as well. But it's almost always, and Ken, but it's almost always Michaela.
Okay. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.
Bye-bye. Survivor know it all.